Rugby Australia has been much harsher in their response this time. Why do you think this is?
Well, I think because of the last time, it was a bit of a complex situation in terms of, I think they were renegotiating his contract, they wanted to keep him. It was kind of the first time, I believe, he'd kind of done something so overt on social media, so they didn't actually give him a ban, which a few people talked about, or a fine or a sanction. But then this time they were taking a lot stronger approach to it, because basically I think, from what I've read within the media, there was something in his contract saying basically you can't vilify anybody on social media again, so he's breached that part of his contract. So although people are talking about freedom of speech and religious things, I think more so it's coming down to an actual employment contract and the fact he breached that contract by doing that. And I think it's been good to see Rugby Australia take strong leadership on this and show that it's not really acceptable nowadays in this climate, and that organisation won't stand for it.
Yeah, you've definitely got to be doing something wrong if your contract explicitly states that you can't attack another minority group again. Now, an underreported part of the story is that other Australian players actually liked Folau's post. So do you think there's still quite a real homophobic problem in Australian rugby and maybe in Australian sport in general?
Look, I think with athletes liking that post, I don't think that is great. And I know there's been an issue over in the UK by one of the English players has been with cricket, and that showed about, I think it was about 83% of people involved in cricket at some time or another had witnessed homophobia. So that's quite a high percentage, and that's consistent with other sports. So I think most sports do have a problem with homophobia, transphobia and inclusion of LGBTI people. Rugby Australia has been doing some work, the members of Pride and Sport, they're connected to some research in Victoria, but I think within these sporting cultures, there definitely probably are still problems with homophobia and transphobia. And look, I think AFL, rugby, to my knowledge, there aren't any out male gay athletes still. So there's obviously plenty of women athletes, and they're really changing the climate for athletes coming out. They're a lot more vocal on social media, but we still haven't seen any male athletes coming out, and we have to start asking questions as to why. Is it because the environment's not welcoming? Is it because their teammates might not support or welcome it? We don't know, but it would suggest that there are still problems within Australian sport, definitely.
Absolutely. Now, Michael Chaker, the Australian coach, has said that even if Folau retains his contract, he won't consider him for the World Cup. Now, do you think that other rugby figures need to step up like Chaker did and say that they won't accept Folau's behaviour?
Yes, and I think, I think some people in the NRL said they basically don't want him either, and a famous French club said the same. I think it's been good that people are saying that now, because most sports are supported by sponsors like Qantas and the Wallabies, etc. And they have to be a lot more corporate. They have to be a lot more aligned to corporate social responsibility. So I think having players on your team who actively and overtly discriminate against people, nobody wants that, and it actually affects the brand. Most sports crave new fans. They want people to go to stadiums. They want people to engage. They want people to support on social media. So it has to have a more positive image now. And I think with some of the other problems within rugby league, in particular in some of the player behaviours and things like that, sports and sports stars are a lot more, have to be held a lot more accountable. And I think the sports sector and society is kind of saying, look, you can't behave and act like that anymore. So I think it's really strong leadership as well from the coach.
Absolutely. Now, what have you seen in relation to this? What have you seen recently in terms of the rugby fans' responses to the termination of his contract?
Well, it's difficult to gauge in terms of, so generally, like across social media, it's been pretty positive, and Raylene Castle in particular and the leadership has been applauded for this, because I think there's a little bit of research that's to come out from a colleague from Monash that kind of shows that rugby fans are actually quite supportive of this. And although it was Rugby League, a different code with the Macklemore and things like that, and Rugby League actually won the award for most inclusive LGBT organisation for the Pride and Sport Index. So there's actually good work going on. I think a lot of the fans are kind of quite supportive of it. But there's obviously still sections within the community, especially the rugby community, in terms of saying about free speech, and he should be commended on his playing and things like that, and his personal life and his private social media use shouldn't affect that and things like that. But I think fans are a lot more savvy to it now. And when we're seeing the inclusion of women and the AFLW competition rising, the Big Bash women's cricket, a lot more women are getting involved now. And, like, for example, the Big Bash is a lot more family orientated. These behaviours just aren't acceptable anymore.
Yeah, no, of course. Now, supposing Rugby Australia does terminate his contract, as it hasn't quite happened yet, what does Folau's future look like? Do you think he'll play rugby for an overseas club, or...?
Look, to be honest with you, I think there has to be starting questions of asking about kind of maybe his mental health and where he's at. There's been reports that he's starting to baptise people in his backyard or something like that. And I just read an article this morning, Margaret Court reached out to him and things like that. So these, like, deeply religious, fundamental people who kind of, I think he was quoted as saying, look, my career is up to God and now I'll place it in his hands and things like that. When you're kind of approaching it like that, it's slightly worrying. And I think that, yeah, we kind of need to start asking questions around that, because to be honest with you, I don't think, from what I've read, I don't think sports will be wanting him, especially if you have a social media storm like this. Would you risk, if you're a CEO of an organisation, would you risk hiring someone like that and him saying further comments? Like, most, I don't think we'll ever see this happen again, to be honest with you. Because even if you're an athlete and you want your career and stuff, you just keep quiet. Don't say anything. But the fact he then went against his contract, went against what everyone was telling him, to further vilify people, just shows you that I don't think, it's difficult, and I don't think he's going to have much of a career left, to be honest with you. Even if he goes to America, I think he'll probably whip up a frenzy there, and it'll again affect the brand, because if they're being supported, if a sport's being supported by corporate sponsors and members, they're not wanting this behaviour.
Yeah, he's definitely shot himself in the foot with that one. Well, thank you so much for joining us, Ryan. It's been great having you on the show.
Thank you very much.